Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. Typing out, get it out of your system.
I'm typing.
I like the outline for the show. Welcome to Kenji.
That's my show notes right there.
It's pretty good.
Right. If my computer randomly decides to take a shit, just like it should
replace you with Kenji permanently. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine too. I thought replacing Corbin first.
With just like an empty bowl and a spoon.
Just rattle it occasionally.
I had a friend who got a virus where little roaches would crawl across the screen and eat the screen one piece at a time until his computer shut off. That's all
yeah,
the
there's
virus.
All, there's
I
all
think
sorts
that's
of
called a screensaver.
Right? But except, you know, it what happened no matter what. It was hilarious. Best virus ever.
Corbin's got a virus. We call that the episode number 67. Welcome to Brainstorm Brewery.
67? 76?
76, yeah, whatever. So this is a special episode of Brainstorm Brewery, because we got probably everybody's favorite streamer out there. If you don't know him, he's doing the 365-day challenge, where he's streaming every day of the week. Rain, snow, hail, or storm. We got Kenji Egashira.
How's it going, Marcel? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah, I'm sure people want to hear a lot of your limited tales. You've been going strong. Well, I mean, really, just I want to just ask you right now, where did the 365-day challenge came up with? And like, you want to tell people about it or just break it down?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I started streaming early last year. It's almost been 2 years now, but you know, I've been watching other people stream Magic since that time, and you know, Magic streaming wasn't that big of a thing. There were a few bigger people that streamed occasionally, but it was nothing that it is today. What led me to this 365-day challenge was at the beginning of this year, I moved out of my parents' place with my buddy, got a place of our own. So I figured, you know, I have all this freedom now. Why don't I try to do this? I was working full time at the time. And so it was a little bit restrictive, but yeah, that's basically all there was to it. I had just moved out of my parents' place and wanted to try something new.
All right. So I have to ask, going in, like, I mean, did you worry at all that, like, you know, you promised 365 days, say something happens, your internet goes out a day, like, there had to be like a concern there, right? Like, is everyone going to be heartbroken if that happens? And I mean, did you plan for that, or is it really like, you know, is there parameters written in there saying like, you know, if something happens, I'll just stream for an extra day at the end?
No, if there was like internet outages have occurred, and they do occur, more frequently than I would like, but that's more of something to do with my wireless connection, I think. There are a few caveats that I put out there, you know, like, when I did the Community Cup, I consider that as my day of streaming for that day, whatever that day was. But no, not really. I'm not too concerned about some issue coming up. I mean, if it happens, it happens. You know, maybe there's a family emergency I have to take care of. But
what day are we on now?
310, I believe, something like that. 300, something crazy. It's let me check here. It's been too many.
So closing stretch then.
Yeah, just under 2 months now. I can tell you that much.
I mean,
so the end of the year, basically, you're going to have a big celebration and New Year's or something?
You know, it's funny. I haven't actually planned this out as well as I could have. It was kind of just run-of-the-mill, and it's still run-of-the-mill. Like, for day 300, there was, you know, people are always wondering, are you going to do anything for certain milestones? And there have been certain milestones where I do crazy things or whatever, but yeah, there's nothing planned. It's just on the fly.
Kind of like this cast. It's just on the fly. But so streaming, as far as this, like, what have you learned over the year with that, just like interacting with your fans and all that stuff. Like, sure, it's something that you came into as far as wanting to do streaming, and then at this point, you're looking at it differently.
Yeah, I started streaming actually, quote unquote, full time about 2 months ago or so as my full time job. It's really interesting. I considered streaming basically like a TV show, a series or something, you know, everybody can tune in at certain times. You're expected to be there. It's going to be maybe similar content to the previous, whatever, X number of days, but it's always going to be a little bit different. Just the consistency, I think. Working with or at least interacting with the chat is really nice. And I think that's what makes maybe my stream more popular than others. Just the level of interaction with the chat. Cause, you know, when you turn on Twitch or whatever, and what you watch a stream and the person just, you know, maybe talks, drolls on, doesn't interact with the chat, but maybe they explain themselves. It's not that interesting, right? There's certain things for streaming that really turn up the level to it.
Like, what are some of the things that you know, just interacting, but like, how do you interact with your, do you listen to what people say? Do you sometimes let them create restrictions for you for drafting or anything like that?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we sometimes do, drafts where, you know, take X card based on, you know, X characteristics, or take one card that's 3 mana and, you know, draft up or down below that. So you take a 3 mana card, then you take a 4 mana card. After that, you can take, you know, 1 or above. You have to take a 5 or a 3 after that. I mean, there are certainly restrictions, and there are certain programs too, which allow the viewers to vote, on the pick that you're making when you draft. And that certainly helps too. I would say that I listen to the chat more so at the beginning of the year than where we are now. Just because when you have, you know, 1,000+ people watching you, how many, you're going to get all these different views. A lot of people are going to want to do the fun thing, you know, force minotaurs or something like that. I don't know. Something crazy, something maybe that's not very good, but it's an entertainment thing. You know, like I said, I think it's a TV show. You have to keep the people entertained. So I think my level of interaction has stayed the same, but I do not listen to people as much, maybe.
What about, I'm sure you get good people that watch your stream. Like, I know Brian Wong, he watches it and says that you draft completely different. I mean, do you ever get interaction from there? Has anyone, you know, like, upped your game or made you a better player through your stream?
Honestly, I don't think any one person has. Maybe that's a lie, but I think that the group dynamic, the group idea, you know, the overall consensus really adds a new twist to anybody's drafting style, honestly, because whenever somebody goes into a draft, they have specific styles that they like. I certainly have specific styles. I tend to go more aggressive and whatnot. And when people tell me, well, you know, you should pick this card, maybe go a little bit more slow and control-y, that's not necessarily completely opposite of what I would tend to do, but, you know, it's pushing the boundaries of my comfort level. So that's always nice.
Guys got any questions?
So, I mean, we had talked about kind of as the cast setting up our own stream just to, you know, get something where me and Marcel can kind of stream out there. And, you know, obviously we're not expecting the level of viewership like you do, where you have those devoted fans who are watching every day. But, you know, just every once in a while, if we want to get on a draft or something like that, throwing something out there randomly, like, what would you suggest for people who are looking for getting into streaming? Because I've noticed a lot more people, and not just necessarily bigger names, but just people in general are looking to get into streaming just to have people kind of in those chats helping them out and learning how to play. And I mean, that it works. I mean, there are people who, you know, are looking for that help or just looking to set up a stream in general. Like, what kind of things would you tell those people? Like, what kind of programs would you be downloading? Is there any sort of, like, sound equipment that you want that you think is better than others? Like, what do you think is the ideal setup for a good stream?
Yeah, okay. So there are two main streaming programs that people use. One of them is OBS, which is Online Broadcaster Systems or something like that. I use the other one. It's called XSplit. Both are free. There is a paid version of XSplit, but both are free. Both are pretty good. They have, you know, different qualities to each of them, but, yeah, so that's the very first thing you need to do. You need to get the streaming program, XSplit or OBS. From there, you don't necessarily need a very good microphone or anything like that. Mine is pretty nice as far as USB microphones are concerned. I have the Blue Yeti. I don't know if you guys know what that one is.
That's what they got, actually.
The Blue Yeti? Yeah. It's a pretty nice one, but you don't necessarily need a good audio device. I would recommend getting a webcam. That actually helps quite a bit as far as streaming is concerned. You wouldn't think so, but people really do like watching the faces and the reaction of the streamer. Beyond that, I would say try to get some sort of overlay or some sort of thing that really jazzes up the image of your stream. You can have certainly just the program itself and the chat box lined up, but people like to see something a little bit more professional quality, and it's not very hard to do. You can just whip it up even in Paint real quick and just put a little border, a little title, whatever. People also like music. That's the weird thing about streams though. Like music is very preference based, right? So you're not always going to be able to cater to everybody in your musical taste, but that's certainly up there.
If I streamed and played nothing but Taylor Swift, do you think that would be good or bad?
I would say you.
If you streamed.
I mean, I'm just going to say good. I'll leave it.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
I guess beyond any of that though, you also need the computer to be able to stream. Because streaming is very intense on the computer resources, right? It takes a lot of the computer usage. Let's go back to the streaming resources, OBS and XSplit. XSplit uses a lot more than OBS. OBS is pretty light on overall computer usage while you're streaming. I don't know. It's just little things here and there, but they all add up. I don't think there's any necessarily one big factor. There certainly has to be some type of personality there. You don't want to just be, and now I'm going to pick this card because it's, you know, the best in the pack. But you have to explain your thought process and at least sound a little bit eager to be doing this.
Yeah, that'll be a problem I'll have. I get too complacent.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so it being entertaining, who are some streamers that you see that are doing it right?
Doing it right? There are a ton of people that do it right. I don't know if I could just name off of one or two, but like even just Michael Jacob, Darkest Mage, he's got most, if not all of the things that I mentioned there. And there are a ton of smaller streams as well that maybe just haven't streamed that often, so people haven't gotten used to them or haven't captured that audience yet. Because after streaming for as long as I have, you know, it's again consistency for me. It's just people can expect me to be on, and so they can tune in whenever they want.
Yeah, I mean that consistency, I think, is like a huge part of developing a following in streaming, right?
Exactly. Because if you just come on at random times or just do it once a week or anything like that, you're going to miss a lot of viewers because people are not going to know, and you're not going to build up that relationship with the audience that you could have.
Who can maybe only do it once a week? I mean, do you think it's still something that you should look at doing? Or is it, you know, if you can't devote a lot of time to streaming, would you suggest not doing it? And I mean, is there necessarily, like, I think people go into streaming with different goals. Like, if I were to stream, it would be maybe to upgrade my game a little bit by getting some people in there watching, just giving me hints, maybe little things that you might miss as you're playing. I mean, it doesn't matter how good of a player you are, every once in a while you're going to miss something. Mm-hmm. And not saying I'm a great player or anything, but, like, I have a lot to learn. And at the same time, I think there's people who are, you know, like you, maybe who are streaming now for a living. Is there different levels of that, and do you think that it's worth pursuing even if you're not looking to make it a full-time job?
Absolutely. Again, like you said, there are different goals for people when they do stream. Some just want to get, you know, maybe a few people or even just their friends to watch them and help them out. Other people just want to see how big of an audience they can get or whatever. I think if, like, for you, example, if you can just stream once a week, you say, I think it's completely worth it. Again, you're not necessarily going to build up that core audience, you know, that reliable audience necessarily, but you can expect to get some people as long as you have the right stream characteristics. Again, you see a lot of people streaming it nowadays. Like even if I just log onto the Twitch page right now for Magic the Gathering, there are, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 people plus 6, 12, 18, 24 people streaming, if not more, right? The majority of them have less than 20 viewers. Even then, that's fine, right? If all you want to do is just get a few people to give you input, to challenge your ways of thinking, then I would say it's completely worth it. Because again, everybody has different play styles, and you're always going to get some different viewpoints that you might not have thought of before.
All right. So let's get some viewpoints on Picks of the Week.
It's time for the Pick of the Week.
of the week. Who wants to start off?
I do.
Fine.
I think there's a decent chance that I'm going to steal Corbin's, so I want to go first. Okay, so here's a card that pre-ordered for like $6 to $8, I think, in his financial set review, which I read. Craig Wesco said he thought this card could potentially go up because it's powerful, if not a little bit slow, and it needs the right deck to take advantage of it. The card is Underworld Cerberus, which has since plummeted steadily and is now gettable around $1.75 on TCG Player. There's somebody with like 20 copies for like $2.50 free shipping. So obviously, this is probably the floor for a mythic that could get played. This card has gone insane on Modo and went up 300% over the weekend.
Yep.
Now, there is a deck in Santiago that was red-black, real fast using Exiva. There was no Cerberus in that, but I think that tech came from online where people have now toyed with Jund. So you can play sort of a Jund mid-range deck like you could before. You have your Thunder Maw Hellkite substitute. You have your Farseek substitute. And now we sort of have a, I don't know, what is he, a Huntmaster? Is he a Thragtusk? He solves a lot of problems. I don't know that he's that good, but I don't think it matters because there's so much hype around this card. I think this is the time to pick him up. He's not going to get cheaper. And the fact that he went up 300% online says, I think some of that tech is going to spill over into paper, and he's pretty low risk because I don't think he's going to go much lower than $2 anytime soon.
And he's a mythic. That's important.
And he's a mythic.
I sold one of these at $2 in the store the other day, and then afterwards went home and found out that, you know, it had been spiking online. But so somebody was ahead of me on that. But it's a good decision, I think, to get them, just because, like, the mythic part is extremely important because it is a much higher ceiling. Like, if it was a rare, you know, it can maybe spike a few dollars or whatever. If it's a mythic, it can kind of go crazy overnight, you know, and I think that's kind of the important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, Xava was it shot up. Like, that would have been a pick of the week to sell, but it already dropped down. You had like a day window. I was actually holding out. I had a few copies and I held out on Xava and it dropped down.
I mean, I think that card's better than bulk and paper, which is basically, like, right now you can get them for under $1. Like, you know, if this black red deck just becomes a piece of the metagame, like, that's a $3 card, you know, like, it's an easy.
Yeah, I think there's still, we haven't even got the Rakdos part of the temples and everything. So I think that, you know, you're definitely going to see this card played before Standard's over and it's going to come back up. But, you know, that's just how Modo is. It's so fast. You got that little time frame. You just got to get rid of stuff. And like Assembled Legions actually hit like $2 at a certain point. Now it's back around like $1.25. So I don't know. Things are starting to move a lot faster than they used to.
Sure. Yes, who wants to go next? Anybody?
My name's Brian. Sure. No one's next.
I mean, I'm grasping here. Somebody else go.
I'll say pick up.
I'm sorry. We didn't tell Ryan that this was a new segment we were going to do on the show, so he's not here this week.
I've been concentrating on a lot of other things this week.
Marcel, go ahead.
I'd say on Moto, definitely pick up Modern Masters, just in general. All the mythics, the rares. Well, maybe not all the mythics, but whatever you can get, because right now this, it looks like this bottom out, and prices are only going to pretty much go up from here. You might get a dip here, a dip there, but, you know, get your engineered explosives, get your, at like $4. You got Kitchen Finks for $1, and then you could probably buy them for a little bit cheaper. You got Glenn and Deva Archmage for $1.40. Get some Given for less than $2. You got Figure of Destiny for $1. It just seems like there's a lot of just insane stuff going on. So
pick of the week madness, Marcel. That was like 17 picks.
That was like a Corbin pick of the week.
Yeah, it's just so good right now. Just get some. You can't go wrong.
I do agree that Modern is a really good place to be looking right now because, you know, it's not quite old extended where, you know, nobody cares about it unless it's extended season. Modern does get played year round, but people just don't care about it right now. They're infatuated with new standard, and modern cards are lower than they're going to be in 6 months. I mean, they're lower. A lot of them are lower than they were 6 months ago, and they're lower than they will be in 6 months. Like, it's maybe not exciting to talk about right now because there's not a lot happening, but this is the time when you stock up on those cards you think you're going to go up, or, you know, like the fast lands from Scars, like your birthing pods, spell skites, all of that stuff that, like, kind of those blue chip things, you know, that are going to be played when modern season rolls around here next summer. Like, this is when you get in on them because they're not going to be any cheaper.
Yeah, I think you got a little bit more when, like, December's historically this when prices bottom out. Who knows, though? The way things have been changing, maybe people might be wise of that and it may not be there. So you may have a wider window on this than normal, but you can't go wrong starting now.
Now, Marcel, would you say that a lot of these prices are going to be hurt by the fact that they didn't do redemption for Modern Masters and it doesn't behave like a normal set in that regard?
It's possible, but I mean, Modern is going to get played on Moto regardless, and it's the demand's going to be there. It's just going to be. I think. I mean, it's not going to. Of course, it's going to be a downward pressure more than normal, but these are cars that needed to be played in Modern, and you had $8 kitchen sinks online. It's $1 right now. I could see it go to $3. It won't go probably back to $8, but you know, it's definitely not going to be at $1.
Yeah, I think Spell Snare is another good one too, because that card just bottomed out when it got reprinted. But, I mean, there aren't that many copies out there, you know? Like, there's certainly way more, and it was an uncommon and all of that. But, you know what? Maybe not this season, but, like, next season, I can see it getting up there again.
Kenji, how many Modern Master drafts did you do when it was out?
Online?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I couldn't even tell you. I think that was... That was one of the few times I had to put money back into Magic Online because the packs were, what, $7, $8, something like that?
Yeah.
That was not a very forgiving format, I'll tell you that much.
But it was fun.
It was fun. It was certainly fun. I probably did at least 50 of them. I'm certainly over 200 Theros drafts at the moment, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that in a second. Ryan, Kenji, do you have a pick of the week or is that, you're not going to do yourself like that?
I won't... give any false prophecies, so no, I'm not going to say anything.
So contrary to popular belief, Kenji's not a finance guy.
I think
I'll go ahead.
Oh, sure. Now Corbin has one.
You know, we're talking about, like, it seems like kind of Supreme Verdict decks are kind of falling. Like, if you look at that the last GP, and if you look at the last Star City, like, there's still the Esper control floating around, but there's not as much of it as there was before, and there's not a ton of Wraths floating around right now. So, and then if we also, like, keep in mind that, you know, maybe these aggro decks, like the red-white one that won the SCG, or the red-black one that won the GP, like, something's really good against those. I think Tristani is probably not a bad place to be. I know it's a card we talked about when it was, like, $3, $4. It's since gone up to, like, $6 or $7. But, like, Tristani is extremely good against all of these decks. Like, Mizzium Mortars doesn't kill it. It gains you life. And then you've got all the usual, like, you know, shenanigans with Populate. I think, like, especially if we get to the next set and have the green-white Scryland, like, Tristani, Advent of the Worm, maybe even, like, Scion of Itugazi. Like, these sort of things are like, those green-white decks are around now, but I think maybe they could become even more prevalent. And if we kind of see these quick aggro decks kind of come up in the metagame more, it maybe force out some of those control decks. Like, then Tristani shines. Like, she's great when people aren't playing Wrath of God. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Fair enough. So I think my pick of the week is going to be kind of a broad one like Marcel's. I think that, and I talked about this this past week in my article, I think now is the time to get in on those random mythics on Moto, because they always seem to go up just a little bit right around this redemption time. And, I mean, if you're looking just to make a few quick bucks, get in. I mean, it's nothing you're going to make a ton on unless you're really willing to put the money in, but you don't make enough on each one individually to, you know, go and sustain your entire account. But if you're one of those people who just wants to get a couple of free drafts in or something like that, it's not a bad deal if you have the extra spare time. And it's something I do every season just because it's free money.
So which ones do you suggest people go in on?
I mean, just... things like Hythonia. Hythonia is like 30-some cents or something like that right now. All right. And, I mean, that it'll probably raise up to 60, 70 during redemption time just because people need them to fill out those last couple sets. I'm not sure what, like, I didn't really do it for M14, so I'm not sure how the new price really affected that, but I don't feel like it will affect that particular facet of the redemption process. I think that, you know, people are still going to need those random mythics. People are still going to be redeeming sets. It might not go up by quite as much, but I think it'll be a matter of pennies that it'll be less. Not, you know, it won't be completely worthless to do.
Okay.
Corbin.
Yes.
It is your turn.
To do what?
Pick of the week.
He just did it, theory.
Oh, yeah, huh?
I wasn't going to bail you out. I was going to let you walk right into that one.
I knew I was. Whatever. It's all for the comedy. Well,
you only did one, Corbin. Everybody else did an entire set.
Yeah, right.
Slack-ass.
Let's get back to Kenji and Moto, and you know, you mentioned about Modern Masters and having to put more money in. You know, have you, you know, quote unquote, gone infinite on Moto at this point?
Oh, for Theros, absolutely. Overall, I would just say it's a very, very steady decline. It varies month long stretches. I've gone up to like 9 months without paying. You have to remember I'm playing exclusively limited though, and that's a lot harder to maintain. Yeah. To maintain the quote unquote infinite status. Cause I think if you're a person that grinds the daily events with, you know, any constructed or whatever, even just Momir, it's a lot easier to get your money back on an event. Drafts, you know, if you lose the first round, you're down 3 packs already. It's depending on what type of event you're doing, right? It's a lot harder.
Right. So, I mean, so what have you learned about, just doing it in limited and being able to, you know, at least make it last way longer than, you know, you may otherwise expect?
Sure. I would say I'm a lot more experienced with Magic, especially since the year started. You know, I've been streaming every day playing X number of drafts. So not only has my limited game, gone significantly up. So I think that 8-4s are where I'm really suited to be right now. And for people that know, 8-4s online are, you have to get first or second to get the prizes. 8 packs for first, 4 packs for second. It's single elimination, so you have to make it to the finals. The nice thing is, you know, if you win an 8-4, you get 8 packs, right? You've been invested 3, you're +5 at that point. I think if you want to try to keep the boat, you know, floating on limited, you certainly have to rare draft a little bit. I certainly do, and there's no doubt about it. If I see any card that's worth, you know, 3 or more tickets, I usually take it even if it's not on color. And that might not be the quote unquote best thing to do especially if you're practicing for a bigger event, a GP, Pro Tour, what have you. But if you want to stay limit or infinite online, it's a pretty decent strategy.
So what other strategies do you do? I mean, as far as like buying packs and anything else, do you sell packs and, or you just keep it, you can play with your stock that you win?
Yeah, I play with the stock that I win. If you're going to buy packs though, it's almost always or maybe always better to buy them from the bots than from the Magic Online store. Simply because from the store, you're paying $3.99, you know, plus tax if you play tax. Whereas from the bots, the packs are usually going to be 3.5 tickets, 3.3 tickets, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lot easier to go to the classifieds and buy something for cheaper than it is to go to the store and pay a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. So as far as selling, your cards that you win, like you say, you rare draft or whatnot, do you go to bots and sell them, or do you set up your own classifieds and sell it that way?
It depends. I will look on the classifieds first, see what the general consensus of the price is, and then I'll usually just go to a bot or something and try to sell it for around that price. I think what you can do though, you know, go fishing, as they might call it. You just put a classifieds up, put it for like one more ticket more than what the bots are saying, and you just leave it sitting up there for a while. Eventually somebody's going to want it, you know, and you just sell it for a slight increase.
But for you, it's not worth the time. You just rather dump the cards.
It depends. If you need the tickets immediately, yeah, I will go ahead and sell it to a bot. But if you built up enough equity, there's no reason to sell it right away, right?
Yeah.
An interesting thing about Magic Online, and maybe with the new set coming out, not in the too distant future to note, is that when pre-release time comes out, all the cards are inflated, even the commons and uncommons. And I think what it's really smart to do, and you guys can maybe discredit me for this, but is just to sell all the uncommons and commons as soon as you can, as soon as the set comes out, because, you know, you can sometimes get a ticket or more for an uncommon or a common because people need them right away to build their competitive decks.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a free value right there at the beginning, because if you wait a month, those cards are going to be worthless.
Yeah, because just the number of drafts or sealed events that people grind out, you know, just the immense quantity of cards that are being opened online just depreciates the value.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, as commons and uncommons and definitely rares or mythics, but we did see in pre-release that a lot of cards, like, they dropped down initially really low and then they shot up as people started to need cards to play test with.
So well, I think the fact that this is like the first set of rotation lends more to the kind of those sudden unexpected spikes than, you know, the third set does.
I think it's something else. I think it's the redemption change for the $25.
Do you think that affects it at the beginning before we get to redemption?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was also they changed the prize structure. They had the special release events where you could have like 11 packs if you won first, and they cut that away the pre-release events. So now people are not grinding out pre-release events as much because the EV is not nearly as good as it was. So you got less packs in the system. Then people want more cards and people are opening less and just
gotcha.
Eventually cannibalize.
Yeah, that's really frustrating for especially something like me who plays that much Magic online. The pre-release events, or not the pre-release events, the release events, they just completely neutered the prize structure. Like it used to be 24 tickets to enter a sealed event. If you went 4-0, you need 11 packs. 3-1, get 8 packs. If you went 2-2, you would still get a draft set, 3 packs. Now it is 20 tickets to enter, so it's like saving an additional pack. But you get 8 packs for 4-0. It's just, yeah, so crazy bad. I didn't play any of the release seals.
It's just Wizards more money out of the system. Is that what you think it is? Or do you think it was too generous before?
They said they were targeting power players.
Right.
And people that they're doing basically like, Kenji, Brian Wong, that are just getting all those and the packs and selling. And they think that this is their way of trying to balance the economy.
I mean, yeah, I can see that because, I mean, you don't want to create a situation with Modo where those people who are just grinding 4 events at a time are coming out way ahead over the person who wants to get on and just play for fun, you know?
Well, it's not necessarily that, but it's just the price, like, for Dragon's Maze, the price of packs is shot down from, you know, they sell for 4 and they would be below 3 at a certain point within a week.
Right, right.
They were just insane. And you saw that with Gatecrash and Return of Ravnica. Everything just shoots down before 4. And now I think this is their way of trying to make the secondary market not that much better than the store. So people are more likely to spend their money in the store. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that that's their end goal. So, sure. I mean, it's unfortunate for the people who want to be able to really grind those events, for sure.
Which is bad, because it ultimately hurts the constructed market, because now there's less singles available, and then the constructed prices are going to be more expensive. And
I mean, sure, but, like, it's, I don't know. Magic Online is, like, the perfect ecosystem in that it always will balance itself out, because if everything constructed is so expensive, well, that means more people are able to go infinite drafting, because the cards are worth more on average, you know, like...
That's true.
Magic Online is like just I think the term is like a very efficient market in that way. Like everything balances itself out pretty quickly.
I'm sure someone could do an economic thesis on Modo and get a master's, a doctorate in Modo finance.
I would.
I'm taking Modo Finance 101, so I'm nowhere near PhD level.
So where are you at on that, Jason? How's it going so far with the MTGO0?
Now, the second installment of MTGO0 went up yesterday. This is me projecting into the future that everything went according to plan. So I'm writing it tonight. If everything went according to plan, yesterday it would have gone up. You can go to brainstormbrewery.com and read that. That will be the second installment wherein I am going to be interviewing Ryan Bouchard about a little bit of the basics. For someone who doesn't even have Modo downloaded on their computer, I'm going to talk to him a little bit about how to turn the money I have in my bank account into some tickets to get started, what I need to buy, where I go, what a bot is, all those sorts of things. So I'm not assuming that people reading know anything about Modo or Modo Finance. I'm really starting from a very, very basic level. So last installment, I sort of introduced the concept, and then we're going to dive right into it. So this should be a good series, and I'm hoping I get better at this, and I'm hoping I bring everybody along with me.
You're almost making me want to, like,
update. No.
So are you going to do the heavy meta 20-ticket challenge along with this?
What is a 20-ticket challenge? Explain to those of us who don't know.
It's like Modo 0, but with 20 tickets and a new account. And a new account gives you 5 tickets, so it's basically 25 tickets. And you do what Jason's doing. See, at the end of the year, or at M14, or M15, I mean,
you're rich. Yeah.
Whoever's got the most is going to get a prize.
I mean, I think you're setting yourself up for failure, though, starting with 25 tickets. Like, I get that, yeah, you can get lucky, but, I mean, multiple people have written articles about that. We had one go up on our own site talking about this. Like, you can't just invest that little amount. Like, it doesn't make sense. You're just pissing away your money. Like, you're way better off to wait until you have at least 100 tickets or $100 that you can
play. I mean, sure, but, like, if people are doing it for fun, not to... Like, I assume everyone who's taking part in that also has their own, you know, like, a regular account that they, you know, do their real speculating on, like...
Yeah, I mean, as long as the general public understands that that's, like, not what you should be doing on Modo.
Yeah, it's understandable. I mean, yeah, you definitely want to invest more. Same with if you want to go infinite unlimited, you need to have X amount of dollars so that you can play X amount of drafts before you can start to lose or win. So,
yeah, just last week I did the new account challenge. I made a new account. I put 3 packs on it, and I was like, okay, guys, let's see how far we can get with this account. 12 packs later, I retired the account. just four lost drafts in a row.
It was fun while it lasted.
That seems like was that an uncharacteristically bad bounce you took?
4 in a row? Just snap losing round 1 or round 2, and that's pretty bad.
I think if you had like 10, if you could do 10 drafts, I think you're starting off. 15, if you could finance 15. Right? Didn't Matt Crocker did an analysis on this, Jason? In one of the articles about it, you needed to have what it would cost to be correct to support your losses in limited.
Yeah, that was, I believe it was Matt Crocker's article about bankroll management. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, that was a good article.
That was a good article. Matt Crocker's a good writer. I haven't heard from him in a few weeks. I'm going to see what's going on there.
Write another article for us, Matt.
If you're listening, Matt, what the hell, man?
I'm still just bitter at Modo over back in the day when I tried to draft and it ate my tickets and ruined a draft for me. That was the end of Modo for me. I won game 1, lost game 2, and then it told me I lost the match 2-1, and I never opened Modo again.
Well, the 20 ticket challenge that they got, they actually, when you open a new account, they give you 20 new player event tickets, and you use one of these event tickets along with one of your actual tickets, and you could play like a new player draft. It's M14 or a new player sealed. That's 2 rounds. If you play 2, it's only cost you 1 ticket. If you play 2 rounds, you can win a pack.
You can't get me back, Bobo. You can't do it.
Wait, so this is how everyone's trying to get rich off of this? This is using these new player tickets?
Well, that's one way you could go about Ferret. I guess he's going to game the system, and he started to do some of with the new player tickets. And at first it was only 5 that you get with your account, but you get 20, and I think actually that's probably the best value you can do. Because the sealed, you only got to win 2 rounds of the sealed.
Don't you tell me it's good value, Marcel. Don't give me a reason to do it.
Is it Theros sealed or M14 sealed?
No, it's M14 sealed.
Don't worry about it.
That's actually probably better than Theros sealed, in my experience.
Yeah, I don't like Theros sealed, yeah. I like Theros draft. Theros draft is fun as shit, but I don't like sealed. What about you?
Theros sealed is bad. Also, there may even be more money in M14, right? Is Mutavault expensive online?
Yeah, it's 20.
Mutavault went back up a lot.
What?
21.
Is it even $21 in paper? I don't think it is.
Yes.
Yeah, Mono Black and then Devotion. It's going to make it go high, and it's going to keep going.
It's Scavenging just a bunch Duke,
of Scavenging Duke's at 7. That's still a good pickup, actually. You get pick of the week. Lifebane Zombie is almost $6.
Now you're just going to do the whole set of M14.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to be like, Jason, you did one pick of the week, one stupid card. Marcel did all of Modern Masters and all of M14. You're making me look like a bitch, Marcel.
Jason, to answer your question about Mutavault and paper, a month ago it was $15, and today it is $20.85. So,
what was it when we said to buy them? Because I'm pretty sure it was like $12.
Yeah, it was. Probably in that $13 to $15 range, as I know when we talked about it a month and a half ago.
We got the research project going. People have completed.
We do.
Yes, it's almost there. So we'll have these picks of the weeks, and we get to analyze and see who's actually wrong. But there's some surprisingly good ones, actually.
Whoa.
And we are going to announce the winner we're going to say your name on the podcast. That was not a prize that we discussed before, but we know that there is real value to us saying your stupid name and Marcel mispronouncing it on the podcast.
What did I miss here?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Don't worry about it, Ryan.
I feel like Corbin. I'm out of the loop. We're
talking about him.
Don't worry about it. You just keep being the talent.
Yeah. Show up 15 minutes late, half hour late. It doesn't matter.
Hey, I blame RussianTetris.net.
Okay, well, now that Ryan's mentioned it, his computer has a virus because he tried to play Russian Tetris, so don't do that.
I did not. My roommate did. But
okay. Isn't Russian Tetris, like, totally redundant because Tetris is Russian?
Yeah, but I mean, this...
This was Russian Tetris, okay?
On Nintendo, they had a Russian version that was insanely better than the official version. It plays Russian
pop music in the background while you play Tetris, all right?
That would be
awesome. Don't do it. It'll give you a virus. Ryan knows.
Don't play Tetris. Play Magic.
Yes,
that's right. Go play Magic. Watch Kenji's stream. Don't play stupid Russian Tetris with Ryan.
Go play Arrow.
I'm super lame. I'm like... probably the most old school person. I still play solitaire. On this current phone that I've had for 3 years, I have 4,232 games of solitaire logged.
Well, that's a very lonely story to tell, Ryan.
I just, like, I play a lot of solitaire. I don't know why. Like, that's just always been my thing.
I used to play solitaire somewhere.
Yeah, I used to play a lot of solitaire in high school, and then I realized I had a stat. No. I had too much chafe in my hand.
That's why you got carpal tunnel. Oh no, it's from playing solitaire. Is that what we're calling it, Marcel? Playing solitaire.
Blown out.
If you're playing the game for hours alone on your phone, it better be Snake.
Oh no. There you go, right back in there with the innuendo.
Yeah, he's playing with the snake, alright. Yeah, Corbin's talking about all these like 1980s cell phone games because Oklahoma hasn't quite got the technology to have.
Because I got an iPhone like a year ago, and before that, my phone did have Snake on it. I loved that phone. But then I found out when somebody showed me a picture of my phone in a museum, that's when I decided it was time to get a new phone.
Yeah, it's time to upgrade your tech.
That was the breaking point for me when it was on display in a museum.
So, Kenji, how about you upgrade our tech as far as limited? Like, is there any tips you got as far as Theros and what you like about it or anything to give the listeners, some tidbits?
Don't draft my colors. What are my colors? I predominantly like to go blue, black, and blue, white. Blue, black, I like the little bit more control-y type decks, you know, gray merchants, lots of bounce. You really want to pick up those return phalanxes, the one black, one colorless, 3/3.
Yeah.
That you can play a blue defender, and that colorless to make it attack. Yeah, that card's real nice in that deck. For blue-white, I like to go the heroic route, the Voltron, if you will. Go all in on a nice heroic creature like Wingsteed Rider, Battlewise Hoplite, et cetera. I think you need to pick up God's Willing for that deck. I think people underrate that card quite a bit, but when you're going all in on one creature, you really want that protection.
Yeah, that seems pretty relevant.
Plus the counter. Oh, boom.
You don't like green, or it just doesn't really pair with anything else? Or do you find people fight you for green?
I hate green in Theros.
Why? Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. Whenever I play green, the only time I win with it is when it's with black.
Yeah. I've had a lot of success with the rock.
Green, black, yeah. On Theros Limited, I think is pretty decent. I don't know why. I cannot win with green, red. This is just personal experience, so don't take this for fact or anything. You certainly can win with these color combinations. But, yeah, I hate green, red. I dislike black, white, but it can be good. I dislike green, blue, but it can be very good.
I like red, white. Red, white could be insane.
Yeah, Boros is nice. Boros
I've drafted nice. Theros once. I have no opinion, fortunately. I should try to do it more.
But that 30. Didn't stop you from commenting.
Exactly.
No, right?
That's Corbin for you. So
hey, you know what? I've only drafted it once, but I've done coverage of some drafts and had talked to some really good people about it. So I know enough about it that I wish I could play more.
You can if you had Magic Online and you got on there.
If I had Magic Online, yep.
And 20 new player tickets.
Yeah.
20 new player tickets? That's insane value.
Yeah, you could win a pack if you go 2-0.
Man, don't make me. Don't make me do it, guys.
I'm downloading Moto tonight, Corbin. You should, too.
This is peer pressure. I know it is.
Can't wait till Corbin's selling fetch lands to buy tickets.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, if I just play two more drafts, I can go. I can start to reverse some of the losses and go infinite. We'll buy some fetch lands.
Hey, I can't handle this kind of bullying. I may have to leave the team.
Yeah, you're making a reference to some sports shit, aren't you? Like, no one knows.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, no one cares. Try again.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys are bullies. That's the point.
But think about it. Then you'd actually have an article series to write. It'd be like, you know, Gambling Addicts 101.
It would be.
You could teach people how to get off of Moto. Or teach people the mistakes that you've made.
Series, it would actually be published, right?
It's true.
Oh!
Hey. My article series is going to blow yours out of the water when it gets done.
Yep. Okay, Ryan.
What he's referencing right there is Ryan's new article series. I'll read it next week on brainstormbrewery.com.
Oh. Hey, in all fairness, the people that I'm interviewing for this, I'm sure are on their own very busy schedule and have not gotten back to me yet. So once that happens, it will be published.
That's your comeback.
Ryan deflecting the blame because he can't write his own article series.
It will be well worth
everybody else but me.
Jay will be well worth the wait.
I can't type without someone else doing something. Sorry, guys.
Jason just slammed Doug and rubbed his nuts all in your face, and you just had a press day, but.
Whoa! Hey, we don't need any of this.
Anyways,
I wouldn't be surprised if the people on this cast did not hang out.
Anyways, I actually am excited for the next installment of Jason's series, because if I was to do magic online, it would start with like doing only financial type things to try to finance some stuff.
Good work.
So
we'll try it.
It's coming from a guy who's only drafted the set once, so obviously it wouldn't be to play the damn game.
We'll join this 25 ticket challenge and just try it. See what you could
do. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. Playing Magic is hard, though. Like, I played some casual yesterday, and my Truefolk deck did very well, but that's all I can play with.
Oh, my God.
So, Corbin,
have you improved at all as a Magic player? Do you know your EDH General's deck? Name yet? Caridor.
Yeah, I got made for that when I went to play EDH on Saturday.
What did you write about on the website, Corbin?
Why don't you go read it, Ryan?
Because I don't care.
Okay, Ryan, there's a website called brainstormbrewery.com where some of us...
No, I know. I've read your article. Your article is really good. I just didn't read Corbett's.
So, Ryan, let me get this straight. You don't care about it, but you're asking me about it. Is that what you're saying? Well,
give him the TLDR.
We're supposed to be friends, so like I'm supposed to care.
Moving on.
So, Kanji, you got anything for the people you want to say or anything you want to put out there, how they can reach you?
They can reach me on Twitter at Numot the Nummy, NumotTheNummy. Also on Twitch, just under the same name, Numot the Nummy.
Where did the name come from? Tell us that. Is there a story?
I used to play with actual live cards back in the day.
That's weird.
This is like when dinosaurs walked the earth. Anyways, my first EDH commander was Numot, the Devastator.
Okay.
So red, white, blue. And shortly after building that deck, I got an Magic Online account, and I just wanted something with alliteration. That's all there's to it.
Okay.
So you transitioned from EDH to Limited. Do you still play EDH?
I used to play exclusively Limited. Then I didn't play Magic that much except casually with friends, which was EDH. And then, I went back to online and exclusively Limited again.
So do you think you ever go back or you got rid of your EDH addiction?
I play casually with friends sometimes because they have multiple decks, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't tickle my fancy anymore.
So would you say it's a bad format?
I'm not going to say it's a bad format. Okay. Are you trying to bait me into saying something?
Can you say it's a bad format, please?
Yeah, please.
Can we get a recording of you that's going to prevent you from making the Community Cup team next year?
I think EDH is an excellent format.
That's right. Sometimes you don't even have to know your general's name to play EDH.
Now, right. Somebody at Wizards is going to be like, oh, we're sorry, Kenji. The correct answer was, I think Commander is a very good format because we don't call
it. Well, shit, you got me.
So how was the Community Cup? What was your experience for that?
Yeah, it was great. It was in Seattle, so I didn't have to be flown in or anything. Damn it.
That sucks.
Everybody else was flown in and stuff. Like, yeah, I'll drive down. I'll be there in 25 minutes, guys. No, but it was excellent. They really pampered us. It was a great time. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Lots of fun shenanigans to be had. Lots of sweet loot. What's that?
Tell us what happened for those who are not aware.
What was the outcome?
What was the outcome?
Yeah, the community won this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
It was close at the end there. I don't know. It's like 250 to 220 or something. I don't know the exact score.
It was, though.
But since the community won, all you guys got a Sliver Queen promo on your Magic Online account, if you have it on Magic Online account.
Wait, so if I log into Magic Online, I have a Sliver Queen?
Yep.
Well, you would have.
Oh.
Online account.
Fine.
And so who's the teammates that you liked working with on the Community Cup? Like, and how was it working as a group and interacting?
It was a really interesting dynamic because what happened was they put us in one room. And so both the Wizards and the community team were in one room. And unlike, regular draft matches, you could tell where everybody was sitting and you'd run around and you'd be like, okay, I'm going to pick this card. It's going to go to, you know, it's going to go to Worth Wolpert over here. He's probably going to take this. But if he doesn't, you'll be able to tell that he's going to take this and whatnot. You know, so we're just all running around screaming stuff for the draft matches. It's intense. I will say this. I enjoyed working with everybody. I have nothing bad to say about anybody.
Was it that obvious we were fishing?
Yeah, it was obvious.
Oh,
all right. So this is, all, is there like any one good story that sticks out from that entire, you know, experience for you? That like maybe, I mean, I'm sure it's probably been shared somewhere, but maybe people haven't had access to or haven't read about it.
Oh, good story, man. It was so long ago.
Honestly, or anything that's happened to you since then because of the Community Cup.
Since then, no, I don't think anything's happened since then, since the Community Cup, but, let's see. Oh, okay, here's one. So, as part of our, prior to the event actually happening, you know, they sent us down to the Wizards headquarters in Renton, Washington, and we did a Q&A with, some of the top developers from Magic Online, and, Worth Wolpert was there, and I asked him if I could make an emote, an emoticon of his face for my stream, and so now, whenever I'm streaming, I have an emoticon of Worth's face, and there's always the chant of blame Worth, you know, when you don't hit your land drop or whatever your opponent top decks. I thought that was cool.
That's awesome. Pretty nice.
So you think you're going to make it back in 2 years?
What? You can't be a repeat Community Cup member.
You can. You got a 2-year gap. So you can't go to the next one, but you go to one 2 years.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, it'd be cool, but I think there are plenty of other people that are deserving and should have a chance to go.
That's fair. Nice to hear that. Well, I'm glad you were able to go and glad you represented and took it back for the
the people.
What do you feel about, you know, Jerry T now joining their ranks? Do you think now Wizards might be trying to stack their odds?
That's a good point.
Huh?
Oh, maybe. I don't think he's going to be able to play for the very first year though.
I think that's how they base all their hiring decisions, Marcel.
That's I don't think that Jerry T ever would have come up with that deck Gavin came up with using doubling season to double the amount of counters put on Jace. I think that was pretty ingenious.
You're right. I'm wrong.
I didn't say that to bum everybody out. Everyone got real quiet.
Good talk.
I got a boogie hanging or something? What's the deal?
Yeah, it's a snot face.
Well, I was going to wait till the end and surprise you all with it, but somebody made a reference to fishing. And I just can't pass it up. Merfolk 1 Vintage.
No, stop.
Merfolk 1 Vintage.
The number one thing I've heard this past week is we talk about Merfolk too much, so we're not
Merfolk.
Doing it. Nope, stop.
Merfolk 1 Vintage.
Stop. I'm putting a ban to Merfolk.
No.
That's going to be the new shirt we make.
No, you know what? That's a worse thing than like just Corbin always talking about Merfolk, because there were two Rug Delver decks in the top 8 of the Vintage at Eternal Weekend, and a Merfolk deck won.
Merfolk 1 Vintage.
Congrats, everybody. Take 10 cards out of your Legacy deck and replace them with Power and go play Vintage. Because that's what makes Magic fun.
Well, I thought it was actually really cool. I mean, and the fact that a creature deck won Vintage tournament is huge. It's just letting especially you know that the creature creep is. Yeah, creature creep is definitely balancing things out. So you can have your insane combo, or you can play a fair creature deck, per se.
Well, what's interesting about the deck is it wasn't even big with True Name Nemesis. It was just, you know, kind of a Merfolk deck. Like
it ran one True Name Nemesis.
Yeah. And the Merfolk deck, the top 16 Legacy at SCG didn't only had him, I think, in the sideboard or not at all. So I still think the card's good. I think, you know, I think there was an availability issue possibly last week, but we'll see where it goes from here. The card's obviously very good because there were some Rug Delver decks that did well, or not Rug Delver, but just some, Stoneblade decks that did well. Yeah.
So what did you guys think of the Vintage tournament and the coverage and everything? Did you guys enjoy any of it?
I didn't get to watch any of it.
Oh, that sucks.
I just found out about Merfolk winning and thought everyone in the world should know.
And you thought you'd devote five minutes of our podcast to it.
That's right.
Yeah, I was stuck at the TCG 50K, so I didn't even know Merfolk had won until Corbin just unfortunately informed me.
I was holding it, too. I was waiting all episode to bring it up when you guys least expected it.
No wonder you were so happy today. I thought, you know, maybe something good had happened in Oklahoma for once.
I thought he had a good thing of ice cream.
Nope,
beforehand.
It's still a shithole.
Hey, so Kenji, what do you think about the Vintage Masters? Are you going to be playing that when it comes out?
Heavily.
Heavily?
Heavily. I don't know. I don't know how much I'm going to invest into it, but I'm going to play the crap out of it.
Too much is the answer.
Yes.
That is the right answer. So this is Brainstorm Brewery. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Kenji, for coming. We'll see you next week. Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.